same weekend that Pastor Sherry got married. So here again for the second time, got a call from Pastor D about a month ago saying that that she was going to be, I guess, visiting family in California, I think. And also, I guess everyone's going to be visiting family. So they were looking for someone to come out and to minister. So I was available. So I came out yesterday. We had a big Lego event at our church. So I'm from Beaver Falls, PA, which is about 4 hours west of here, almost to the Ohio line. And so last year we were doing something at our church. We had this big Lego event, and we had like 4,000 people show up. So we thought we should do it again this year. So it was yesterday, and we had about 5,000 people show up. So it was really great. All these kids, families, bounce houses, all kind of things. So I was there for the morning and then had lunch and then just drove in the rain the whole way. But happy to be here and happy that the sun's out and happy that we get to celebrate and worship together. Amen. So, I want to ask you guys to open up your Bibles, please, to the book of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. And I just want to underscore what was mentioned about the Easter cards, too. Please take those and please use them. It's funny, I was just listening to a podcast yesterday on the way here. And so in the podcast, they were saying that they estimate that about 70% of people in our country will live and die and never be invited to church. Some things just should not be, okay? 70% of people, they estimate, will never get a personal invite to church. And it's just a simple, easy thing to do. And on top of that, they've done other research that they've asked people, if you were invited to church, would you come? And over 80% of people said, yes, I would. So do that. And that is a real easy way just to be a blessing and just to help build up the body of Christ. Hallelujah. So, I have a couple books in the foyer, too. I've always loved books, always been a big reader. So now I'm a writer as well. So I have some out there. So just want to mention that. So after service, if you want, maybe stop by and maybe find something that'll be a blessing you can take home with you to minister to you or to someone else. So I'm encouraged just to share something that God's put on my heart that I'm calling There's Still Room for More. You know, I got to know Pastor D from going to the RMAI meetings. I also went to Rhema, a minister ordained through Rhema, the same network that Pastor D's part of. And speak up to the meetings in Lancaster. I know you guys say it Lancaster here, but I say it Lancaster, okay? And so we've gotten to know them, and so they're dear friends, and so just a joy and a honor to be here and just to minister. So let's pray, and then we'll jump into the book of Ephesians. Lord, thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. Thank you for your presence in our lives. And Lord, thank you that we have this opportunity once again that we don't take lightly to gather together and to open up your word. And we trust you, Holy Spirit, that you will illuminate your word and just write it on our hearts. Lord, help us to carry away the truth that you have for us this moment, this day. And Lord, that this will not just be another time at church. This would not just be another message. But Lord, this would be your hand writing your word upon our hearts, Lord, that we could run with it and just live in your victory, live in your power, and serve your purposes for your glory. We thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Ephesians chapter 1, I want us to start there, and I'm just calling this message, There's Still Room for More. And so, you know, just what happens, you know, you read through the scriptures, you're doing your own personal study, and things just jump out to you, you know, and things just speak to you. And so it makes sense to you. And so then you just trust God to help you to make it make sense to someone else. And so here are just some things. Here are just some thoughts. Here are just some inspiration that's come to me that's been meaningful and powerful in my life. And so I'm just going to trust that the Holy Spirit's going to help us to just translate that from me to you. Is that good? Okay, so Ephesians chapter 1. So we know that's written by the Apostle Paul, and he was an apostle, obviously. And so what that means is that he traveled around and he would start churches. So that's what he did. He would go from place to place. He would start a church and then he would establish leadership there. And then he would move on and go do that somewhere else. So he's what you would call the father of this church. He's the one that just kind of got it birthed, got it launched, and then he went and did that in other places. So now he's writing this letter now to what you would call his spiritual children, and he's writing something from his heart. And I want us to start reading here in verse 15, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. And so I'll be reading from the FBI version, the full-blooded Italian version. No, I'm just kidding. I'm reading from the NLT version, from the NLT version. So it might be a little different from what you have, but Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. And here's what Paul says. He says, "Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly." He says, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. Everyone say grow. Grow. You know, everyone's always wanting to know what's God's will. What's God's will? God's will is very simple. It's grow. He wants us to grow. He wants us to grow in the knowledge and likeness of Jesus. He wants us to grow. So if you're seeking God's will, obviously, there's a whole lot more to it than just that, but grow is central to knowing what God's will is for you. And so here's Paul, and he's saying, hey, guys, ever since I heard of your faith in Jesus, ever since I found out that you're now part of the body of Christ, ever since I found out that you're now part of the church, he's like, what have I been doing for you? He said, I've been thanking God for you, but now I'm also praying for you. And so you hear these fatherly overtones. He's praying for his children, his spiritual children. He's praying for them. And so what is he praying? He said, I'm praying for you, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you will understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world but also in the world to come. Can you say amen? He's far above anything and anyone else. Hallelujah. But the point that we're taking here is that right in the very first chapter of his letter, and we know it was not written that way, but later it was added in chapter and verse so we can actually find things easier and know where to go. But it's one continual thought. So as he begins this letter, the very first thing that he says basically is, hey guys, I have you on my mind constantly. Hey guys, I carry you in my heart constantly. And so, you know, those of us who have children, you know. So, you know, we have three grown sons. Two are married, one soon to get married. And so, you know, they're all grown. They're all on their own. Some have children, you know. But still, there are kids. And so it doesn't matter how old they are, it doesn't matter that they live far away or that they're on their own, you still carry them in your heart constantly. And he's saying, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you constantly. And so what is the subject matter of his prayers. He's saying, I'm praying for understanding. I'm praying for insight. I'm praying for wisdom. I'm praying that your hearts will be flooded with light so you can see something that you do not currently see. And so to me, I think that's so important to understand that here's what Paul is praying for his spiritual children. He's saying, this is my number one priority. This is what I do for you every single day. This is what matters to me more than anything else. I'm praying that you get this. He said, I used to pray that you would come into the family of God. And now, thank the Lord, you're here. Hallelujah. You're in the church. You are a child of God. You're now someone who has faith in Jesus. But now that that's happened, I'm not done praying for you because that's not the end. That's just the beginning, right? He's like, now we get to really get and to dig in and to really press on to what God really wants to do for your life. And so that's why I call this message, there's still room for more. Okay? It's kind of like Thanksgiving. You know, so we all gather together with family and friends and we eat and we watch football and we eat and we watch some more football and we eat and we watch some more football. And then you say, oh, I can't eat anymore until you hear those two magic words, pumpkin pie. And you're like, oh, wait, I think there's still room for more, okay? So what we're saying here is that Paul's saying, hey, guys, I want you to understand. I'm praying for you because this is so vitally important. He's like, okay, now you're in the faith. Now you're in the church. Now you're in the family. And we're glad and we're thankful. But don't get too comfortable. Don't think that now you've arrived. Don't think that that's all there is to this thing. Because that's not all there is to this thing, is just to join something and be part of something. Certainly that's a big, important, you know, part of what we're doing here, being followers of Jesus. But it's more than just coming to church on Sunday. It's more than just being a member of a body. It's more than just saying, okay, now I'm a believer. And so that's why he's saying, now that you're a believer, now I'm praying for you to have understanding and insight and wisdom into what else there is for you to have and to become. Hallelujah. And so that gets me excited because it's not just some boring thing. You know, I've heard people say, oh, God's boring, church is boring. I'm like, I'm sorry, God's not boring. And if you're bored, it's not his fault, okay? Because you're the one who's making him boring. Because you don't understand. Because you have not tapped into the reality of who he is. And so that's what Paul's saying. I'm praying for you that you will see some things that you haven't seen. That you will understand some things that you need to understand. So that you can take full advantage of all the things that God has made available for you. Are you interested in that? Yes, amen. So I have 3 points for you today. One out of Ephesians chapter 2, one out of Ephesians chapter 3, and one out of Ephesians chapter 4. So 3 things that I just found just in my own personal study from this letter. Now, again, we call them chapter 2, 3, and 4, but it wasn't written that way. It was just written as one thought. 3 things that I believe that the Paul brings out that helps us understand that, hey, there's more that I can tap into. There's more that I can grab onto. There's more for me to experience. There's more for me to grow into as a follower of Christ. So let's look at this first one in what we would call Ephesians chapter 2, going into chapter 2. Let's read starting in verse 4. Ephesians 2, verse 4, we're talking about there's still room for more. Everyone say more. More. Yes, more. I want more. How about you?
Ephesians 2, verse 4, he says, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loves us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. Verse 8, God saved you by his grace when you believed. Now, you may have heard this in some other versions where it says, you are saved by grace, right? We know that verse. We've been taught that verse. We've heard that verse, and a very foundational verse to our faith. And here he says it in this verse, and it says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. You can't take credit for it. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. And then in verse 10, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So the first point, we're talking about there's still room for more. I would say it like this, there is more for you. Okay, so we're talking about more. The first point, there is more for you. And so what I mean by that is that we understand, we've been taught that we're saved by grace. And thank God for that. We need to know that because it's not by our works that we earn salvation, right? It's not by anything good that I can do that I can ever even come close to earning salvation. However, what I think happens sometimes is that people limit this idea of grace, and we only see grace from one facet. We only see grace from what it takes away from us. Okay, we're saved by grace. And so by God's grace, my sins are now forgiven, and now I can go to heaven. And that's such a vital truth. But sometimes we're only looking at one side of the coin because God's grace does not only take something away from you, God's grace also injects something into you. And so if we're only going to look at something from one facet, we are seeing truth, but we're not seeing the whole truth. And so that's why Paul was praying in this earlier chapter, I'm praying for light, I'm praying for understanding, I'm praying for insight, I'm praying that you would grow and understand more of what is available to you. So thank God we're saved by grace. Thank God that we're saved by grace. But let's not limit the idea of God's grace that it only saves me from my sins. And I know that saying it that way might sound like I'm trying to minimize or marginalize that truth, and that's not what I'm doing, because certainly we all need to be saved by grace. But see, if we're going to quote the Bible, we need to quote the entire thing. And so I'm sure that you've heard it, I've heard it too, is that people like to say, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And I just have to challenge that. Because I believe that there's so much more to it than that. Because when you are saved by grace, there's still room for more in that statement. And we see here, this is what he's saying here. He says in verse 8, God saved you by his grace when you believed. You can't take credit for it. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not something that we earn. But then he says in verse 10, he says, or it's a continuation of that same thought. So therefore, because we are saved by grace, therefore, we are now God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So I would say it like this. I believe that it's clear from Paul's writings that, yes, we are saved by grace, but yet at the same time, we are also saved for grace. Okay? We are saved from works, meaning that I don't earn salvation because of my works, but then because I'm saved, because of the grace that has been applied to my life, now I am empowered, now I am equipped with this ability from another world to do good works. So you see that grace is not just simply grace isn't just that my sins are forgiven and we are thankful for that, but grace is also now empowering me with the power of heaven to go and do good works. That's the whole point. That's the whole point of being saved, is that now we are being transformed and now we are now new people in Christ. So you could say it like this: we're not just a sinner saved by grace, we are now a masterpiece in Christ saved by grace. And I know that might make people say, masterpiece, that sounds like you're being arrogant and proud. No. Because when you go and you give honor to a masterpiece, who gets the glory, the master or the piece? You see, you know, people will hop on a plane and fly to France and stand in line to go and see the Mona Lisa. It's a masterpiece. But who gets the glory? The painting or the one who made the painting? It's the master, not just the piece, that gets the glory. So you see, when you're saying that you are a masterpiece, not because of who you are, but because of who Christ has made you, it's not that you're getting glory for yourself, you're getting glory for him, because he's the one that made you into that masterpiece. You're his masterpiece, you're the work of his hands, you're not your own masterpiece, not the work of your own hands. So you see, we're not just only saved by grace, we're also saved for grace. We're also saved in order to be graced, to have ability and power come upon your life so that you can go and do the works that he planned for us long ago. I love this verse here, Ephesians 2:10. He says that we have been created new in Christ Jesus so you can do the good things, do the good works that have been planned for you long ago. Long ago, before there ever was a York, Pennsylvania. Long ago, before there ever was a 2023. Long ago, before there was anything, God had you in his heart, and he had a plan and a purpose for you. You're not just a nobody going nowhere to do nothing. You are a somebody going somewhere to do something for God. Hallelujah. I don't think that it's an accident that you are who you are and where you are. I believe that we have been blessed and honored to be placed into this slice of human history that we call 2023. God is doing great things in this day and in this time. Certainly there's darkness. Certainly there's challenges. Certainly there's trouble. Certainly there's a lot of bad news to be seen. But if you look through all of that, you will see that God's hand is moving powerfully and mightily in these days, and we get to be part of that. Amen. So you're not just saved from works. Yes, that's true. But the full truth, the whole truth, is that you're also saved for works. Because you're saved, because of God's grace that's been applied to your life, now you are enabled by that grace to go and do the works that he planned for us long ago. And so now you are stepping into your destiny. This is our time. Thank God for those who have come before. Thank God for those who have come before and have prayed and have worked and have labored and have done all the things that they did. But now they were just setting the table for us. And now this is our day. Now this is our time. Now this is our moment. This is our moment to step up and say, okay, Lord, I'm here now. They came and thank God for them, but they're not here anymore. Now I'm here. And now I'm going to step up and serve your purpose in my generation. That's our call. You're saved not just by grace, you're saved for grace. You know, back in school, you know, I like to play sports and then played, you know, all kind of things. And so when I played football, you know, I like to play defense. That was fun because I played linebacker and it was just fun to just play defense and just hit people. That was just fun, but now I'm saved. Now I just lay hands on people instead. But anyway, so you know, I don't know why it was just fun playing defense for me more than offense. But I think that now, you know, just to use that sort of a illustration, as a Christian, as the church, I think that we need to not play defense as much as we need to play offense. Because on defense, you want to just kind of hold the ground. Okay, no one's getting past here. I'm just going to hold on to what I have. And this is what we're going to do. And you just kind of guard what you have. And you want everything just to kind of stay the same. And so in football, that's good. But in church life, that's not the best. We don't just want things just to stay as they are. We want to be more offensive-minded, which is when you get in the game and you start to move the ball down the field. You begin to make some chunk plays and some first downs, and you cross the goal line and you put some points on the board. You see, that's what this whole thing is all about. Not just playing defense and just hanging on till Jesus comes. But let's start playing some offense, and let's take some ground, and let's get something done, and let's do something significant and put some points on the board until Jesus comes. Amen. Let's not just be defensive-minded. Let's be offensive-minded as well. You know, I like to think of it like this. In Luke 5, there's this story about Peter. And, you know, he was a fisherman, and he had a boat. And so it says here that one day Jesus was preaching, and he asked to use his boat to preach from. And so Peter had just fished all night and didn't catch anything. So more than likely, he's tired, he's hungry, he's hangry. You know, he's just like, I just want to go home and go to bed. Don't bother me with your preaching stuff. But he's like, okay, since you asked so nice, okay, I'll just humor you. I'll go along with it. Go ahead, take my boat and preach. So Jesus does that, takes the boat, teaches for who knows how long. And so now he's all done. And so Peter's ready to go home. And so Jesus says to Peter what? He says, take your nets back out for another catch. And Peter's like, dude, stay in your lane, okay? You know, I'm the fisherman. You're the preacher. I know how to fish. You don't. But there was something about Jesus that when he said things to people, they just couldn't say no. And so he took his nets and he cast them out. And what happened? He got a mother load catch, the catch of a lifetime. The nets are breaking. The boat is sinking. They're asking for help. They can't even drag the number of fish in. They're just like overwhelmed. And so this is Peter. He's a fisherman. He's always been a fisherman. So my thought is, this is a catch of a lifetime. He's dreamt of a catch like this. This is the pinnacle. This is the apex. This is as good as it gets for a fisherman to get a catch like this. And then it happens. And then something else happens. His eyes meet Jesus' eyes, and just in an instant, in a moment, he realizes, I just had the catch of a lifetime. I just did what I thought was the best thing that could ever happen to me. but it still doesn't satisfy. It still doesn't scratch my itch. And in that moment, their eyes meet, and Jesus says, okay, leave your nets, leave your boat. You had your fun. Now come follow me, and from now on, you will catch people. And see, that's what I think it's like. See, we're on this quest for the good life. We want to go and get all the things we can have. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be blessed. You should have the best life possible. But let's make sure that we don't make that more important than it really is. Because Jesus said, you can have the best that this world has to offer, and it's still never going to reach you as deep as what I have for you to do instead. When you do what I've called you to do, when you do what I've planned for you long ago, that's what's going to satisfy. That's what's going to really be meaningful and powerful and significant in your life. And so I'm not implying that everyone needs to just leave their business and go into ministry. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying that in the midst of all our pursuit, in the midst of all the things that we're chasing, in the midst of all the work that we're running after and trying to get the best that life has to offer, let's not forget the real purpose of the path that God has you on. It's not just for you to get stuff. It's for you to seek first the kingdom of God and to participate in what he's called you to do. Amen. There's more for you than just simply being a believer in Christ. There's more for you than just simply being someone who attends church on Sunday. There's more for you than just saying, okay, I gave my heart to Jesus, and okay, that's all there is to it. Now, I'm done, and I just go on my merry way, and I live my life, and then one day I die, and I go to heaven. Well, that's nice, but there's more for you than just that. And that's what Paul is saying here. I'm glad you're a Christian. I'm glad you're a believer. I'm glad you're part of the faith family. I'm glad you're here. But now let's get busy. Now I'm praying for you to see something that maybe you haven't seen yet. That, wow, there's so much more out there than just praying a prayer and giving your heart to Jesus. That's not the end point. That's the launching off point. Amen. There's more for you. Now, go over to the next chapter, chapter 3, and let's look at this next point. And Paul's still writing, and Paul's still speaking things to his spiritual children. And so these things don't just speak to them, they also speak to us here and now. And let's look at Ephesians 3 and verse 16. Ephesians 3 and verse 16. We said that the first one, there's more for you. Secondly, I would say it like this, there's more in you. There's more in you. And let's read here, and it'll become more clear what I mean by that. Verse 16, Paul says, I pray, there he goes again, he's still praying, I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength. What kind of strength? Inner strength. Inner strength in us through his spirit. Then Christ will make his home where? In your hearts. See, he's talking about this inner thing, this inner life, this inner experience. He's talking about power within, inner strength. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then, meaning after we have experienced the love of Christ, then what's the outcome? What's the result. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. You know, we read these words, but do we really stop and absorb the full weight of these words? Do you comprehend what we just read? He's saying, dear Lord, that we can be made complete. That means nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken, complete, whole, total, with all the fullness. It means there's nothing else to add. You've got everything he has to give with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. That is what has been invested into you and I. Wow. And we thought we were just coming to church. We thought, I'm just a Christian. I'm not anybody. I'm just a Christian. I'm just Joe Schmo from Elm Street. I don't do anything. I don't have anything special. What are you talking about? You have been invested with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. That's what's walking in your gut every single day. And when your eyes pop open every day, it's like, wow, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. Why? Because now I get to go and live a life that has been equipped and empowered with all the fullness of life and power that God has to give. Doesn't mean that you're not going to have challenges. We all have challenges. Life is just one continual series of problems. But we overcome every single one of them. Because why? Because greater is the one who's in me than he that's in the world, right? 1 John 4:4. You have been equipped with so much more than you realize. That's what Paul was saying here. That's why I say there's more in you. There's more in you than you give God credit for. You thought you just got your sins forgiven. You thought you just became a member of the church. You thought you're just a believer, and that's all there is to it. And he's saying, no, you are a container for all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. You are a representative of who he is in the earth. You got way more than you bargained for. Amen. You got way more than you thought you signed up for. Because to whom much is given, much is required. But it's okay, because you've got what it takes. Not because of who you are, but because of who you're hanging out with. Because he's on the inside of you. And look at this next verse, verse 20. And we love to quote it, but we tend to only quote part of it. He says here, Ephesians 3:20, he says, now all glory to God, who's able to do through his mighty power at work within us. I'm not saying it the way it's written here. He says, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. And we've heard it before. We like to say, God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, and then we stop. But that's not the whole verse. He says, God is able, yes, to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. But what's the other part of the verse? According to his power that works within us. Oh, so you mean I'm part of the equation? Yes, that's the point. So yeah, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, but he's not going to do it separately from us. He's going to do it with us as being part of the plan. He invites us to participate in what he's going to do. Wow. It's kind of like we always say stuff like this. Oh, someone should do something about that. because there's a problem, there's an issue, there's something that's wrong at work, at school, in the family, whatever. And we say, oh yeah, someone needs to fix that. But it's never us. It's always someone else needs to fix that. And so we say, oh yeah, this world's a mess. Someone needs to do something about it. And so God's saying, yeah, you're the someone. Yeah, you. You. I put my power in you. I put my wisdom in you. I put my grace in you. I put my spirit in you. I put all the fullness of life and power that I have to give. It's in you. Guess what? You're the man for the job. Hallelujah. And so now, stop waiting for someone else to come fix something, and let's go out and do something in the name of Jesus. Amen. You see, we have this God come and fix everything mentality. And we pray that way. God come and fix this. God come and do this. God come and help us. And we're not saying that's wrong, but have you ever considered that when you pray that way, God's saying, yeah, I'm going to answer that prayer, but guess what? I'm going to use you to get that done. When you read the Old Testament and you see all these people who did things and prayed, did you notice that they always became part of the answer to their own prayer? God wants to use us. That's why he's saying there's more in you. And I don't know why, because God's God and he can do things his own way. But God has chosen in his sovereignty to say, I'm going to use flawed, imperfect human vessels. You know, God can do this all by himself. He's that good. He's that big. He's that great. He can just do it all by himself, but he doesn't want to. He wants us to be part of it. We get to share in the joy of serving the Lord and being his hands, his feet, his voice, his people in the world. Wow. Man. And so that's what Paul's saying. He's saying, my children, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you to understand there's so much more in you. You've got so much more to offer than you realize. You've got so much more to give than you think. Stop shortchanging yourself. Stop shortchanging this world that you live in. And you think, well, I can't do anything. Who do you think I am? Well, I think that you're someone who's been invested with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. You're someone who has the inner power of God, who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in me. So no, you're not responsible for everything, but you've got more than you realize. You can do more than you think. You can accomplish more than you give yourself credit for, because you have been given more than you think. You have more of heaven in you than you thought. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a great day it'll be. And yes, it will. But why do we have to wait? You've got heaven in you right now. The kingdom of God is within you. You've been invested with so much power, with so much ability, with so much love, with so much goodness, with so much of the Spirit of God, and we're just letting it lie dormant, and we're just wringing our hands at the condition of the world all around us when we've been given the ability to make a difference. Hallelujah. Let's go do something with that power that's been invested in us. Faith is more, for more than just improving our lives. Faith will improve your life. Faith should improve your life. But it goes way beyond that. Faith is for changing your world. Faith is not only about making your life better. Faith is about changing your world. God uses faith to use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Amen. One more. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's start looking here at verse 11. Ephesians 4, verse 11. We said, first of all, there's more for you. We said, secondly, there's more in you. And now this third one, I would say it like this, there's more than you. Ephesians 4, verse 11, he says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his church, of his body, the church. Verse 16, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly, meaning that he has the body of Christ organized so perfectly, every member being just where he or she needs to be in order to accomplish God's purposes. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. That means what? That means that you're not going to accomplish your best work independently of the church. You will do your best when you are part of the whole, not all by yourself. And he says here, as each part does its own special work. My God, you have a work. You have something that God has called you to do. There is a special assignment with your name on it. It's not just the preacher. It's not just the singer. It's not just the pastor. It's not just the people on TV. He's talking about all of us. As each part does its own special work, what happens? He says, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Wow. There's more than you. He's like, when you do your part, when you use your gifts, when you flow in the ability that God has given to you, it will influence somebody else. Amen. That means that when we are really tapped into God, when we are really in the flow of God's purpose and plan for our lives, it will not only be inward, it will also be outward. We talked about inward. There's more in you. And yes, we need to have an inner life. Yes, we need to have time with God. Yes, we need to cultivate and to develop a strong spirit, a strong inner life where we are in contact with God. Yes, we need that. But what's the purpose of that? Not just for you to enjoy it and just go on your merry way and to ignore the world around you, but so that you can be strong in your own, for your own benefit, but also so you can be available for God to use to do something good for somebody else. There's more for you than just coming to church, than just praying a prayer. There's more in you than you realize. You've been given so much from God because he has so much to give. And now there's also more than you. When you are in the flow of what God has for your life, he will open your eyes. He will awaken your consciousness to the world around you. He will give you an increased awareness of his heartbeat, and his heartbeat has never changed. It's for the world around us. His heart is beating right now today the way it's always beat. He's beating for lost people. He's beating for lost souls. His heart is longing for us to partner with him and work together with him and to do what he's called called us to do to help build up the body of Christ and to reach someone else outside of ourselves. There's more than you. You know, a couple years ago, back home at church, we had a service and we were just doing some worship and stuff, and so those words came to me. There's still room for more. And so I was thinking, where's that at? I think I saw that before somewhere. And I start looking it up, and I saw in Luke chapter 14, there's a parable of Jesus. And he told this one parable where there was a man who was having a wedding for his son. And so he was getting this banquet ready, and he sent his servants out to go invite everybody to come to the banquet, come celebrate, come and let's be joyful together. My son's getting married. And so they went out and they made the invitation, and people began to make excuse. Can't come, too busy, got this, got that, sorry. And so they came back and said, well, we went, but, you know, we did the best we could. And he said, go out and do it again. He said, go out and find everybody you can and make the invitation and bring them in. And they did. And they came back and they said to the master, and you'll see it, it's in Luke 14, 22. It said, we did as you asked, but there's still room for more. There's still room for more. And so that's what Paul's saying. He's like, oh, I'm so thankful you're in the body of Christ. I'm so thankful you're in the church. I'm so thankful you're part of this family of faith. I'm so thankful for you. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you that you will understand that there's more for you, that there's more in you, but also that you will understand that there's more than you. That's why you're here, because they're not. We are here because they are not. See these empty chairs? See those empty spots in the parking lot? There's still room for more. God's heart is so big, and he's glad that you're in his heart, but there's still room for more. His heart is so big that he can include everybody in this whole world. He loves everybody. He wants everybody. He longs for everybody. And no, we're not going to save everybody. No, we're not going to change the entire world, but we can do what we can do. The good that I can do is not all the good that the world needs, but the world needs all the good that I can do. There's still room for more. I'll just end with this. In Acts chapter 1, you can read it later. You know, Jesus is just, you know, raised from the dead. He's getting ready to go back to heaven. And so he had just spent 40 days talking with his followers about the kingdom of God. And I think it's in verse 6, Acts chapter 1, verse 6. And so they come to Jesus. Now, mind you, these are his followers. They had just spent 3 years living with Jesus every day, hearing all his sermons, seeing all his miracles. They know him. They are the people that at that time are the closest to him. So they know his heart. They know who he is. They know what he's all about. He came back from the dead, and they're hanging out with the resurrected Jesus for 40 days. And then he's getting ready to go back to heaven, and they come to him with this question. It's in Acts 1:6. They said, Jesus, will you now at this time restore to us the kingdom of Israel? Sounds like a good question. But what they're saying basically is this. Will you now fix our country? Will you now set us free from Roman oppression? Will you now give us back the world the way that we want it to look? Will you now give me the life that I want? And see, that's what we do. We go, okay, Lord, I'll follow you. Yes, I'll be your child. Yes, I'll be your follower. And now, Lord, will you just give me the world that I want? Will you give me the life that looks the way that I want it to look? Will you do all the things for me the way that I want you to do it? And his answer is so mind-blowing. He says, that's not for you to understand. He said, that is in the hands of the Father. He says, but here's what I want you to do. And we go into Acts 1:8. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses until the ends of the earth. So what he's saying basically is what? You're thinking too small. He's like, you're just so concerned about your neighborhood and your life and your world, and that's all you can see, and you want to be free of what is bothering you, but I've got to make a much bigger perspective. I want you to be part of something way bigger than that. I want you to be part of me reaching to the ends of the earth. And they're like, what? And see, that's where we are. We're so caught up in our everyday stuff, in our everyday problems. And yeah, they're real. Yes, those things touch the heart of God. I'm not saying that they don't matter, but I'm saying God is trying to help us see way beyond just next Tuesday because I got this, or next Friday because I got that. He's like, yeah, I'll be there for you with that. I'll take care of that for you. But I want you to participate in what I'm doing, which is so much bigger than your little world. I want you to be part of what I'm doing, which is reaching to the ends of the earth. Because there's more, because there's still room for more. If your prayers and your dreams only solve your problems, you're thinking too small. That's what he was saying. If your dreams and your prayers only solve your problems, you're thinking too small. God is so much more than we give him credit for. Yes, we need to be saved. Yes, we need to be a follower of Christ. Yes, we need to be faithful to him. But it's not just about you. It's about God using you to reach someone else. Amen. So I want us just to pray. I want us just to bow our heads. And I just want to ask you a couple questions. And again, we just bow our heads just so you can just focus on you and not be distracted by something else. And really, this really is the most important part of the service, where now we get to respond to God and say, all right, Lord, you know, we sang, we gave, we preached, we greeted, we did all those things that we need to do. But now we get to just, for a couple minutes, just focus on him. Just focus on him. Not about what's happening later today, not about what's coming up this week, but just right now, for just a couple minutes, just you and the voice of God. And I believe that he would want to ask you three questions. The first one, just based on our points, there's more for you. And so if you're here this morning and maybe it never dawned on you that God wants, or that God has more for you. You thought it was just about just praying a prayer, just making sure that you're right with God, and just to make sure that you're going to heaven. And that's all good, but there's so much more to it than that. God has so much more for you than just that, than you just making that check on your list. He has so much more for you than just being saved by grace. He also wants you to be saved for grace. He wants you to rise up in the ability that his grace gives you and to run with the vision that he has for your life so you can accomplish all the good that he's planned for you from long, long ago. And so is there anyone here in this building this morning that would say, you know what, I need to yield to God. I need to surrender my heart to God. Why don't we just pray together and just pray after me. Say this, Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for all that he did to save me. And I pray, just like Paul prayed, give me insight, give me wisdom, give me understanding that only comes by your Spirit into the fullness of what that means to belong to you, to love you, to serve you, to follow you. Forgive me for making it too small, for limiting you. Help me to rise up into the fullness of all that you have for me. Thank you for your grace that takes away my sins. And right now, I open my heart wide open for that same grace to empower me and to equip me and to change me so I can be that masterpiece that does the work that you've called me to do. In Jesus' name. Now, the second question. There's not only more for you, there's also more in you. And is there anyone here that maybe would say, you know, I just never realized, I just never really thought about it that much, that, wow, what God has made available to me. And so my prayer for you, I believe that God is just saying to you, I want you to make more room in your life for those things. I want you to make maybe some adjustments, maybe some changes, maybe some things need to go, maybe some things need to change, need to do more of this and less of that, whatever it takes. But I want you to make more room to fit those things into your life so you can carry properly, appropriately, all that I've given you to carry, so you can represent me well. So I want us just to pray. Say this with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for such a great investment that you've made into me. Help me, Lord, to understand it all by your Spirit. Make it real in my life of all you are in me, of all that I am in you. And I thank you that you want me to be part of what you're doing. Thank you that I get to participate in all the good things that you're doing in my lifetime. And so here I am. I pray, Lord, awaken within me that inner strength, that inner power, that inner reality of your presence, and help me wear it well, and help me carry it well, and help me use it to the best of my ability for your glory, in Jesus' name. And now just one more. There's more for you, there's more in you, and there's also more than you. And we know that, and we agree with that, and we nod our head, yeah. But I believe that the best thing, the very best thing I could do for you this day is to pray that you will leave this place with a true and heaven-sent burden for lost people. It's not easy. There's a cost. It'll cost you some things. But what you gain is in no comparison to what it cost you. And so Jesus said, count the cost. Count the cost. You want to follow me? Count the cost. You want to be a believer? You want to be a disciple? Count the cost. I want you to be part of what I'm doing. And what he's doing has never changed for 2,000 years. It's reaching lost people and bringing them closer to him. And so I want to pray. And so you pray if you want to. But I'm praying that we don't just nod our heads and say, yes, yes, we need to reach the lost. But now it's, yes, Lord, help me. Help me see them, want them, love them, reach them, find them. Help me do my part. We read Ephesians 4:16, as each part does its own special work, it influences the whole body. You are not just living your life independently of anyone else. You are part of a greater whole. You are part of a bigger plan. You are part of a bigger purpose. You are part of the family of God. And God has you doing what you are doing so it can affect and influence much more than you ever realized. So just pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you that you found me, that you reached me, that you loved me. But I know there's still room for more. There's still room for more. I pray, Lord, make those words burn in my soul. Not just a cute little saying, but a reality in my life. And Lord, I thank you that I'm going to leave this place with your burden burning in my soul to reach others. Help me see them. Help me find them. Help me want them. Help me love them. Help me make room for them. Because I know in your heart there's still room for more. Thank you, Lord. I get to do this. I thank you that you love me. And now I thank you that I get to go love others because of that love you have for me. Use me to bring people to you. In Jesus' name, amen.